Welcome back to another Macam in the Middle podcast. Two games to cover this time, as opposed to just the one. Obviously, a midweek win away to Blackburn Rovers, a 3-1 win on the road, and the most recent game, a 1-0 defeat at home to Cardiff. And we will cover both games, what happened during them, the goals, team selections, players coming back, etc., etc., etc. But starting with that Blackburn game, John, and you know, once we obviously get onto the Cardiff game as well, it's going to be an interesting comparison between the two games because they are the definition of polar opposites in terms of performance compared to result. But on that Blackburn game, it was, I think that was our third win in a row. It was the first time we've won three games in a row in a while, and it was a good win and a big 3 points.
Yeah, it was a cracking win, to be fair. You know, Blackburn, I know Mugs, to be fair, they played some okay football and, you know, probably battered us sort of first at least half an hour, I'd say. Obviously, didn't really take their chances. And as we found out yesterday, you know, in the Cardiff game, if you don't take chances, you're going to struggle. But yeah, a fantastic result, a battling performance for a lot of it. And, you know, when we get a foot on the ball and a bit of a hold away from home, we're definitely a different beast, and that obviously showed. I think we scored at you know, the right time. Obviously, we went ahead. They obviously equalised through a, you know, what we'd call a poor goal from ourselves, and then you scored just before half time with Dan Neil, and that puts you in at half time, and you know, you're sort of flying. Add to that second half, probably should have had more goals. But yeah, on the whole, you know, a fantastic result, away to a very, very, very good team.
Yeah. And obviously, we were going to do a podcast after that Blackburn game, Michael, but we didn't. The narrative of that game is very much going to be how Sunderland, especially at the start of the season, their performances didn't really match the results. You know, we were playing well in the early games, you know, that Ipswich game, probably, you know, minimum deserved a point out of it, arguably three. The Preston game, again, arguably deserved a point out of it, possibly three. We didn't get them. The performance was there. The Blackburn game was very much the opposite. You know, the performance in general was, especially in that first half, from, you know, kind of a midfield and a defence point of view, we were conceding so many chances, you know, giving the ball away very cheaply and just looking quite all over the place, but got the result playing badly, which was, like I said, the complete opposite to what happened in the opening two games of the season.
Oh, it definitely was. I mean, you couldn't get more polar opposites if you try compared to, because the narrative seems to be, or we phrase that the angle seems to be that we didn't get the result our performances deserved, or the result was better than the performance. We do have to credit Blackburn in that regard, because I think Ewood Park's going to be quite a tricky place for teams to go to, and Blackburn, I mean, fair play to them. And like John said, first half an hour at least, came onto us relentlessly. And although the goal we conceded was poor, that was at the time that equaliser went in, that was coming, because of the way that Blackburn had set up, the aggression and the intensity that they showed. Thankfully, Sunderland managed to ride it out. Getting the goal before half time in that game was crucial for us to have any chance of going on to get the 3 points. Because, I mean, even second half, when Blackburn was still coming at Sunderland, we were dealing with them a bit better and we looked much more of a threat on the break. But there's no doubt in your mind that I think Blackburn away, that's an impressive win, especially considering the performance, because Blackburn didn't let us settle at all.
Yeah. Two of the goals in that game, John, obviously from Clark. I think he, well, was joint top goal scorer come the end of that game. Obviously wins the penalty, which there was no question marks over. It's a clear penalty, and scores it. And obviously gets the last goal in the game as well. And I'd say five goals for him so far this season. I think, I might have to double check this, but I think he had seven last season.
I think it was nine, but I could be wrong. Like nine in the
seven or nine. Yeah. So, you know, in terms of how much he's come on, obviously he had a great season last season, got Premier League interest, albeit from Burnley, who, you know, kept lowballing with the offers. He seems to have improved a lot in the final third, and you know, looks like he could hit double figures for certainly goals again this season, but you know, also assists as well if it starts to click a little bit more for the rest of the attacking players.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he's probably been so far maybe what player of the season so far. I know we're very early on in. But, you know, he's adding consistent goals to his game and he is a real threat. And I think, obviously, our tactic is, you know, to get the ball to him as much as we can. And, you know, he's quite predictable. He likes to cut inside a lot of the time. And, you know, it's even though you know what he's going to do, it's still a real hard thing to defend against because he's just so good on the ball. He's probably the reason we did actually win midweek, you know, just hitting those levels. You can tell why there is Premier League interest in him. But obviously him having an amazing season is only going to help us, hopefully, you know, maybe, you know, project up to the next league and in the hope that then you do keep him. Because I think if we do just miss out, I think it's probably time that, well, obviously we don't want to, but I think it's time that he probably does, you know, maybe get a bigger move, shall we say. I'm not saying Burnley is a bigger move, but, you know, to someone better than them, and for very good money. But, you know, at the moment, he's ours and he's actually on fire. And to me as well, I think he's adding his defensive work, which, you know, I think we get caught out, especially last season, a few times with, you know, letting crosses come in because sort of Sirkin's 2-on-1 or, you know, his defensive side of it is really, really good. The only thing I'm worried about now is him playing every single week. Have we got a replacement who can play there and be as good? You know, Bennett seems a bit injury prone at the minute. Is there anyone else?
Obviously, Roosen, I think, would be the replacement. Obviously, I haven't seen much of him yet, but...
Yeah, that's obviously an option. But obviously, we need to get him up to speed because ultimately, we don't want Jack Clarke playing sort of 90 minutes and every 3 days, because to be fair, the amount of action he's involved in, and he gets kicked, he gets, you know, he does leave his foot dangling there a few times with, you know, with the ball, and he does invite challenges. So you've got to expect that. So that's my only little worry. But on the whole, you know, we know he's a fantastic player, and we've given him the platform to go and show that. And to be fair, he's taken his chance, and ultimately, you know, that's why we win the game.
We do. And he scores 2 of the 3 goals in that game, Michael. Dan Neil obviously gets the third goal, but the second goal in the game. And, you know, he's a player that last season, you know, had a lot of quality. But again, in such a short space of time, seems to have just improved massively. And I think the technical ability for Neil was always there. But I think his decision-making, his composure at times... You know, last season was very poor. You know, multiple times, you know, he'd get caught on the ball. You know, he'd make the wrong pass or he'd make the wrong decision. Whereas this season, he seems to have, in a footballing term, aged about 5 years. Because the composure's, you know, twice as good. His decision-making's twice as good. And he's adding a little bit more to his game as well in the final third.
Well, exactly. I mean, he's someone... I mean, obviously, if you look at... He was introduced in League One. And I think if you compare the player that he is then to the player that he is now, it's like with Jack Clarke, it's chalk. I mean, obviously, Jack Clarke came back permanently after a loan, but it was chalk and cheese, wasn't it? And again, it's like John said about Jack Clarke, this is going to be another player that if we don't get promoted, that we're going to probably struggle, maybe not quite as much, but certainly potentially struggle to hang on to. And the only problem is there, you know, at least make sure you get a decent fee. But again, it's all about replacing him, I suppose. But yeah, Daniel, I really like the look of him. And, you know, obviously, he's finishing the game. Away at Blackburn was very, very good. So the composure, and as you said, yeah, in football terms, he's aged 5 years. Obviously, you know, this, I think 21's the new 26, 27 years old for us by the looks of it. So good thing that he has done. And I do got to remember as well, he had to sort of reinvent his game slightly with Evans being out last season, where he had to step in and take on the Evans role and, you know, be the person who dictates things from the middle of the park. And even though we obviously yesterday, for example, didn't come off for us, I thought there were times when he was pretty good again in the middle of the park. But as I said before, the likes of him or Jack Clarke, if we don't go up this season, we'd have to accept there's a good chance that teams in the Premier League will take them off us.
They will. Well, see, that game in itself finishes 3-1, and I think it took Sunderland up to fourth, I think, at the time.
Yes, it did.
Still a bit of a gap between the top, obviously Preston and Ipswich. Early days, but, you know, as it stands, walking away... you know, from the rest of the league, I think there's now a 8-point gap. I think it might be possibly even bigger from Sunderland to the top two, which I'm just going to try and get up here. Obviously, Leicester, Ipswich on 21, Preston on 20, Sunderland on 13. So it is an 8-point gap. But like I say, only 8 games played, still 38 games to play. Quick maths. But the next game, which, you know, we talked about that Blackburn game just, John, and we say, you know, the performance wasn't great. The result was Cardiff game. Again, complete opposite. I think the performance, you know, compared to that Blackburn game, was, you know, probably 5 to 10 times better. You know, barely gave Cardiff a sniff the entire game. The build-up play was there, created chances, forced the keeper into saves. But the result, similar to the Preston game, similar to Ipswich game, just wasn't there. And, you know, again, 8 games into the season, it's, you know, too early to be concerned or excited or whatever it would be. But that's now 3 games where the performance has been good, but the result hasn't been. And there's only so many games you can get away with, you know, dropping points with them performances.
Yeah, spot on. Obviously, we spoke off air about it. You know, to me, it was, I mean, on the whole, I'd probably say it was sort of a 6 to 7 out of 10 performance. Maybe got unlucky with a few chances. I don't think we had, you know, so many clear-cut ones. And then it's sort of, you know, a bit of naivety, I think. You know, at the back, you know, you're looking at two, you know, great players who are doing really well this season in 09 and Hume. And, you know, for me, obviously, Hume switches off, gives away a stupid corner. Can we then deal with it? You know, you're looking at your captain who's more interested in, you know, rugby tackling his player instead of just sort of, you know, just watching the ball and just stopping him. And not that the defender knows anything about it, but like you say, we're sucker punched. And, you know, for me, I think, probably sounds really harsh, but I think we got what we deserved. You know, I don't think the tempo was there. You know, I don't think we were expansive enough. I thought it was quite sort of one-dimensional. We went across the pitch, back across the pitch, and have we got anything else? And it really changed the way we play. You know, are we streetwise enough to think we can play a different way for 20 minutes, you know, and nick a goal? You know, that's the difference in teams winning the league and you know, and not winning the league or getting promoted and not getting promoted. So for me, it was a bit huffy-puffy for me. You know, I don't think Pritchard had his best game. Always seems to play better when he comes on. I don't know if we need to sub him on in the first minute or something to maybe get him going. You know, I'm probably rambling now, but I just seemed to be really frustrated. And it is a weird one because we did play well, you know, or well enough. But when they scored, it was a bit, we almost deserve that because of, you know, just a bit of a lack of concentration from some, you know, real steady players.
I think Patterson is largely at fault for the goal as well. Because, I mean, you've probably seen it back a few times. He seems to leave the ball thinking it's going out of play. You know, it's not much power on the header, if it was even a header, or it hit, I don't know where it hit, but it kind of just bounces over the line. And Patterson looks to think that it's going past the post and doesn't really make any attempt to try and save it.
Yes, I think maybe if we're being hypocritical, maybe you'd expect your goalkeeper just to go for it. But I think the mistakes are already done. Yes, Patterson could probably, it might be one of them when you watch it back, you know, and you think, oh, I could have done something. And then in real time, it's just a bit, oh, the ball has literally just gone past him. It's, yeah. You know, it's one of them. But for me, the first two is that, you know, what's Trey Hume doing? He's been solid, or he has, you know, he didn't start the season as well as maybe he finished it last season, you know, and gives away a corner out of nothing. And you're just thinking, just tighten up. And then from set pieces, we're normally pretty good defensively on the whole, normally. And then it's, you know, the defender doesn't know too much about it. But, you know, for me, it's quite poor from Luke 09. But yeah, I don't think in the game we really, I don't think we probably deserved it. I mean, a draw would have been, you know, fair. I thought Cardiff were absolutely turgid, and just watching them just waste time. And, you know, we could probably start on the officials as well, because, you know, the added on time was...
The time that I think was 2 minutes in the first half, which Pritchard even, you know, reacted to on the pitch quite clearly. And... You know, the idea is good. You know, if teams are time wasting, add the time on. That's how it should be. But, you know, when you compare some of the games earlier in the season, I think Ipswich, there was 12 minutes added on in the second half, or first half, whichever one it was. And, you know, the stoppages, especially in the first half in the Cardiff game, they had two players down injured for a minimum minute, at least a minute. You've got, you know, every goal kick, which seemed to take, you know, 20, 30 seconds. I think it was probably six or seven of them. You know, there's, you know, probably 3-4 minutes from set pieces. There's 5 minutes. And it's just kind of, again, one of the words that you use with officials, usually with just decisions, is, you know, inconsistency. But the time wasting and, you know, added time, it's irrelevant if they're not going to be consistent with it.
Yeah, well, it seems like the initiative was there. The initiative's been for sort of 4 weeks, and now the initiative's gone, and we're back to square one. It's almost like someone said, "Nah, we don't want that to happen. Just carry on." And, you know, again, I'm not excusing us losing, because, you know, it happened, and I don't think it was anything to do with the time, really. But where's the consistency? Where's it happen? Teams can come up and frustrate us, you know, and they did frustrate us. You know, they broke up the play. You know, a lot of stupid fouls. Like you say, a lot of time wasted on throw-ins, goal kicks, substitutions, people laying on the floor, you know, and those sorts of things have got to be tightened up. But going back to the, you know, original question, it's one of those you just write off. It seems a weird one, but obviously we haven't won three games in a row for a very long time. You know, and then it's happened now. We've got that bit of consistency. And I just thought, it doesn't matter who we played, the fourth one, I just thought was probably a bit of a stretch just too far. Yeah. Obviously that proved. And we keep saying we've got to expect it because we've got young players in the team. But yeah, I think if you've got aspirations to get promoted, which we have, which, you know, that's a well, you know, documented thing from those, you know, in power at the club. You know, you can't be losing your home games to Cardiff. I think they did this last year as well, 1-0 at home. Same type of thing. And like I said, you've got to be streetwise against that. We've got to find a different way when the going gets tough. I'm not saying it was proper tough yesterday, but just to get a goal from somewhere. Can we break it up? Can we flood the box? You know, this is probably another side criticism. We brought Hamir on, you know, and he was sort of coming out onto the wing and linking play. So when we got the ball in the box, we didn't have those players in the box. And it's like, but we need someone in there constantly, you know. And then you bring Russin on, and we just concede. It's literally the energy just sapped out of the team, and it's like pointless, even though he looked okay. You know, sorry for going on.
Not me for once, so it's a first.
You look at the stats in the game, though, Michael, and I think their keeper's made... I've been telling you how many saves the keeper made. The keeper's made 7 saves. You know, plenty of crosses came into the box that you had to collect as well. So the chances were there for Sunderland. And, you know, off the top of my head, there was one in the first half where I think Pritchard gets the ball in the kind of 6-yard box, has a shot that's deflected. Roberts, you know, other end of the pitch in the second half, very similar position. Doesn't quite get the connection on it, and keeper makes a good save, but a quite comfortable save. And it's all good, you know, creating these chances, forcing keepers into saves, this, that and the other, but you need to start taking them. And, you know, winning 4 games in a row, I think John said before we started recording, I don't even think Sheffield United, who got promoted, did that last season. It is a very hard league, especially now, you know, to go on that kind of run. But what shouldn't be too hard, and again, alluding to what John said before, is with that being a home game, you should be at least coming away from this, you know, I think it would be 6 games unbeaten.
Well, this is the thing, because we did have the chances yesterday to score them. I mean, you could tell that Cardiff were pinned in their own third for basically 80 minutes until the very end. Well, I mean, they had maybe a half chance in the first half, but that aside, I could tell Cardiff were content to come up here and get a point and... Sorry. that was a good timing. Trying to choke on the podcast. But I'm choking with the thought of it. But no, I mean, for them, you've got to give them credit. It worked for that, because they not only got a point, they got all 3. I think we should be... This is one thing where if the standards are we're going to expect to get promoted, then games like that have to be wins. It's as simple as that. Or at the very least, you come out with them with getting a point. Although, I mean, the stats do suggest that we've scored 15 goals this season so far. So we have been Blackburn was probably clinical in some senses, whereas obviously this game, to go back to the polar opposites point, wasn't. I kind of got what John said about deserving what you get for not being street smart, but I would argue that if you're going to deserve what you get, Cardiff did next to nothing attacking-wise all game. So I would argue that they didn't... Well, I know that's not what John's saying, but I don't think Cardiff deserved any more than a point. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter for them. They got it. My frustration, and I think, again, John said this as well, which I actually agree with, is that you don't take your chances, fine, but then don't give silly corners away, which then lead to goals. If you don't take your chances away, then at least make sure you come out of that with a 0-0 draw. Because Say later on in the season, I mean, I'm not suggesting we are going to be in the top two, but say, for example, if we finish third and miss out on second by a point, then, you know, how big could that point be towards the end of the season? But there's no getting away from the fact that our home for, I mean, it's starting to look a similar story when teams come up here and put 10 men behind the ball that we struggle to break them down because there's not much space to run into an attack in front of us. And we're an intricate team that likes to run down the channels and create chances and either whip the ball into the box or whip chances where people are coming behind on the edge of the box to shoot or whatever it is. Blackburn's an example. We were able to do that because they went for it and we had the space on the counter to attack because of it. Whereas Cardiff showed next to no intention of going forward. And that isn't a dig at Cardiff. That's their tactics. Fair enough. It worked for them. But it's something we're going to have to get used to. We are going to have to get used to the fact that we are going to have to try and break teams down. I do wonder as well how much of it is because we've become so accustomed to playing without a striker that now we've got one in the team, we don't know how to adapt.
I'm going to stop you there because that was a point I was going to make as well. And I think...
I promise I didn't segue on purpose.
I mean, I wasn't going to make it. I was, but then I wasn't. Now I am. But, you know, Burstow, you know, hasn't done much. Obviously, given the ball Netmash, apparently, in training, haven't seen that in a game yet. Hamia, you know, was given a game, didn't do awfully much, and then, you know, hasn't really been given much of a chance since. And, you know, a lot of people have actually been saying what you've just said there, is that Sunderland becomes so accustomed to playing without a striker, that when you do have that, you know, 6'2", 6'3", 6'4" player, you know, in the box, we aren't using it. And we're not using it the way we could be. You know, Sunderland have a plan here, and everyone knows what Sunderland's plan here is. It's, you know, recycle possession, keep the ball, you know, play 1-2s, triangles, and, you know, score goals in general, but satisfying goals, I suppose. That's essentially what Sunderland are trying to do. But what we always used to talk about last season was when that's not going well, we're knackered because we don't have a plan B. We don't have that 6'4" striker or 6'2" striker or even 6-foot centre back to aim for from a set piece, from a corner, from a cross or whatever it would be. This season we do. You've got Ballard back in defence now, who's, you know, 6'2", should be a threat from set pieces. You've got Job in midfield, who's 6'2", 6'3". Burst obviously started the game 6'2". Hamia came on 6'4". And we aren't using that plan B. You know, we're not getting balls in the box. We're taking short corners. We're taking short free kicks. We're just still trying to adapt plan A as opposed to switching to plan B when A is not working.
Well, I can't believe I'm quoting Russell Martin here, but one of the quotes he said was plan B is to do plan A better. And that seems to mean what we're trying to do. We're trying to do plan A so intricately and be so aesthetically pleasing on the eye that we can't seem to adapt to a plan B. And just the onset pieces... I'm convinced now we are the worst team in the EFL attacking set pieces. I can't remember the last time we actually scored a goal directly from a set piece, unless either of you can remember one and I'm going to be made to look like an idiot there. But I'm struggling to remember the last. It's got to the point where when we have a corner, I'm not excited for it because it's like, well, our corners half the time don't beat the first man. And, whenever they do beat the first man, it never seems to directly find our players in the box. And I do understand because a lot of opposition players have 6-foot tall, lanky people to be able to head the ball away. But you're right, we should be able to use the likes of Mason Burstow, the likes of Joe Bellingham, the likes of Dan Ballard, whoever else, we should be able to use them effectively. And again, it's one where this is where I think down the line, Burstow, I still have belief, will prove to be a good signing, not necessarily in terms of goal scoring, but although that would be welcome, is that he's going to be the full, once he adapts to how what we're doing and we adapt to having him in the system, it might mean that he's then the focal point used to be where, and I'm not saying he's going to be Ross Stewart's level, obviously, but I mean, he could be the focal point that allows our wingers and, you know, inside forwards or whatever you want to say to run in behind and create the space. But yeah, it is a funny one. I mean, again, with Burstow and Semedo, obviously neither of them have done much yet. I still think it's way too premature to make a judgment on them at this stage. Yeah. Maybe in about 10 games time, you can start to look and say, if they're still not doing anything, then I think it's fair to start questioning them. But at the same time, if your standard is to get promoted, the counter argument is, when are you going to start questioning them, I suppose? It just depends on what you expect from the season.
Yeah. Well, a standout player from these last two games, John, if you had to pick one.
I'd probably have to say Dan Neil on consistency for both. I am very much a Dan Neil lover and will always be, even when he probably signs for Liverpool in the summer. But yeah, there we go.
That is quite possible. Michael, standout.
I have to go for the obvious. I go for Clark. I think Clark obviously was the match winner really at Blackburn, and his quality won us the game. And I actually thought even yesterday, even though he wasn't as most effective as he could be, and there were times he frustrated me, he was probably the one who was, we were probably guilty of giving the ball to him constantly and getting him to, so there you go, just skin past three people and score. But, yeah, you know, I think it's a testament because two, three men on him every time. And I think even then, I still thought he managed to at least recycle the ball well and try and make space for others.
Yeah. Well, next game's Friday night. Sheffield Wednesday away on Sky. They have not won a game yet this season. They've got 2 points, one of them against Middlesbrough and one of them against Leeds. Yeah. Obviously, Middlesbrough haven't started particularly well either, but I think that could be the game after as well, potentially. I'm not sure. But, you know, Sheffield Wednesday not in a good place. They want their owners out. They've now turned on the manager. They want the manager out. The team that they've got isn't a championship team, and I think they'd say it themselves, you know, the quality's lacking. Obviously, Barry Bannon's still there, and I'm sure anyone that watches on Sky will be sick of hearing his name by the end of the night. But it's, again, one of these games, John, that Sunderland have to go there and win.
Yeah, definitely. Like we were saying earlier, if the remit is, you know, playoffs, you know, and above, then you have to go to these places and get points. I think we're a better team away from home. Can we go there and, you know, we need to get an early goal, I think. We can't afford to start slowly. If you do that and you give them, you know, something to hold on to, I think we're probably in a bit of trouble. But go there, score early on if you can, make the crowd obviously turn. That would definitely help us. But yeah, I'm fully looking forward to sort of bouncing back after, you know, the disappointment of the Cardiff game.
Yeah. Michael, we'll start with a score prediction for you for that game.
I'm not going to do reverse psychology. I think I can't be bothered with it. I do think we'll win. I do think we will bounce back. And I think this, on paper, although nothing's guaranteed in this league, you have to go and fight for the points. I think this is the fixture you probably pick to bounce back with. So I'll go... Right, this might fall flat on my face. I'll go 4-1 Sunderland. I'm fancying a comfortable victory here. As long as nothing stupid happens, like a man getting sent off or their keeper having a worldie. If we put the application in and it's 11v11, match their effort, we should be beating them. There's no excuse not to.
Yeah. John?
I'll go for a 3-0 win. Maybe even 3-0. A goal from Russell.
Michael's favourite clean sheet.
Yeah, well, every time I predict one, we concede, so that's why I don't do it anymore.
Reverse psychology, then.
To an extent, yes. Fine, scratch that. 2-1 Chef Wed, first win.
Well, that game is on Friday. Like I say, it is on Sky. We'll get a podcast out over the weekend to talk about that game and look ahead to the next game as well. But until then, we will see you later. That's all, folks.